And I want you to open your Bibles and look. I hope you brought your Bible today. We're going to go very old school. There's just the first scripture is going to show up there. I have another seven or eight more scriptures that you're going to have to open your Bible. It's a great idea right there. Probably bring your Bible to church. Bring your Bible to church somehow, some form or fashion. And we're talking about what the angels announced, the big angel first, or it was small or big. It was one who spoke, and then the other angels came and announced to the shepherds in the fields, the night that Jesus was born. And they talked about three things: good news, peace, and joy. And why is it so important that we understand that only God can give us the best good news? Because even if a person gives you whatever good news it is, you win $1 million. Ooh, you're pregnant. If you're a woman, you want to hear that. Now, if you're a man, ooh, you're pregnant, you have a child or something like that. All those good news, they don't last for eternity. But Jesus brought us a news. It's a news that lasts for eternity. Amen? It changes our life forever and ever and ever and ever. And so there is no news that you can compare and say, this is good news. Well, that's okay news compared with the good news of the salvation of Jesus. The other thing is about joy. We're going to hear next Sunday about joy. It's very different what the world offers. The world offers happiness. And happiness is just if the circumstances around you are happy. And if mama is happy and everybody is happy and everything is happy, then you're having a happy moment. But the joy is the presence of God inside of us. You can be going through a hard time in your life and you don't have to be jumping up and down and smiling, but you have the joy of the presence of God, of the peace that God can only give you because He lives inside of you. And if you don't know what that is, you need to come to Jesus, because without Jesus, you cannot experience joy. You can just have moments of happiness. And today we're going to talk about peace. And peace is another thing that only God can give you, because the world will give you peace, like Jesus says in John 12:14, I believe He said, I don't give you peace as the world. The peace that the world gives you, everything has to be peaceful around you. Amen? But the peace that Jesus gives us is a peace that overpasses understanding. Let's look at Luke, chapter 2, verse 14. Glory to God, the angels say, glory to God in the highest, glory to it, and on earth, peace, not just to anybody that walks into church and God is with this little magical stick of giving peace to everybody just because, no. It says peace on earth, peace among those with whom He is pleased. And we're going to hear today about that. Let's close our eyes and pray. Father, I thank You for this morning. I ask You, Lord, please, help us to identify in our lives as Christians where the enemy wants to come during our normal week to steal, because he is came to steal, rob, and destroy. Where that he wants to come in our lives to steal the peace that You gave us the moment we accepted Jesus. Lord, I ask You just help us to understand Your word and help us to make a decision about what You say about having continuous peace in our life. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray, and everybody says, amen. One of the things that I never will forget is that I struggled in my mind without Christ as a teenager, living in sin, away from God, atheist. I had struggles in my mind. Thoughts will come and invade my mind, attack my mind, who stole the peace. I hated those thoughts. Very personal struggles in my mind. And maybe you know what I'm talking about. And I couldn't have victory in my mind. First, I was a slave of Satan. The Bible says that we are his kids if we don't walk with Christ. And so he would just attack me, and he had nothing to do to defend myself. I just struggled and struggled and struggled. But I accepted Jesus in my life. In a few days or weeks later, maybe a month, somewhere there, I had this moment of remember what it was before you accepted Jesus. And in the last month, from the day you surrender your life to Jesus again, you have not struggled with those thoughts. And I never, ever struggled with those thoughts again the rest of my life. And this one of many blessings that I have because I accepted Jesus. Now, I have to confess to you, I have lost my peace as a Christian for almost 30 years now, many times, because the Bible says in John 10:10, the devil came to do what?
Rob,
steal, and destroy. So he is in the business of robbing, stealing, and destroying, especially for the ones who he hates the most, who used to serve him, but now serve Jesus, and that is you, and that is me. And so not because you accepted Jesus, I'm going to have peace all the time. No. The Bible says here, the angel says, peace among those who please him. Who please him. And I pray, really I pray, that God will give you revelation today in your life. Where does you have a door or a window open in your life? Where the devil can sneak in. I'm not telling you that you're going to be demon possessed, but he sneaks in your mind and in your heart, and he steals that peace. The first point of my message is peace comes as a result of obedience to God's word and the voice of the Holy Spirit. It's a long point, but I just said it. God's word and the voice of the Holy Spirit. Because the Bible says in Isaiah 48:22, I love the scripture. Open your Bibles there. That's not going to be in the screen. Open your Bibles there. There is no peace, says Pastor Christian, says John, says no. There is no peace, says who? Says the Lord, for the wicked. That's a good bumper sticker, I think. There is no peace, says the Lord. There is principles that God has put in this universe that you and I cannot break, no matter how smart, powerful, or whoever you are. Did you know that no matter how powerful you are, you still live under the law of gravity? You try to jump from the building and see what happened. No matter how much money you have in the bank, or how many friends you have on social media, or how famous you are, there is a principle called, and God says, one of the principles, he says that whatever you sow, you will reap. That's another principle. And there is another principle in the Word of God that says, there is no peace, says the Lord, for those who want to live in sin. I can close the Bible and we can go home now, and that's enough maybe for the day. There is no peace, says the Lord, for the wicked. Don't get mad at me. If you have no peace, and it's because you are decided to live a life of sin, God will not fix that until you surrender your life to him and say, God, I want you to control my life. And I want to live according to what you say and nobody else's. When did Adam and Eve last peace? When the peace was here on this earth, until one moment, yes or no? Until the moment that what came in? Sin. And they were running around like a chicken without head, and they were covering themselves, and they were so mad, and they were so disturbed, and they were hiding from God, and they were mad at each other, and the peace flew out the window of their hearts. Now, they couldn't fix it. There was a solution. Repent and ask God for forgiveness. I don't blame them because I want to see Adam and Eve like baby Christians. You know, I don't know for how long they walk with God. But suddenly, the guilt and shame fill their hearts. Have you experienced losing the peace in your life because of sin? Have you experienced that ever in your life? I know you will have, unless you are one of the millions who have accepted Jesus and never sinned after that. One in a billion. I don't think there is one in this world. Who tempts us to sin? Satan, yes, but also our own carnal inclination of our sinful nature. And I will say this, and I surely believe this, one of the things that I believe very strongly. One of the biggest qualities of a mature person. They take fully responsibility for everything they think, they say, and they do. And Adam and Eve were not an example of that. Did you want to see how mature you are? How many of you guys want to see how mature you are? When was the last time you blamed somebody else for something you said, or you did, or you thought, or you acted on it? I'm 47 now. Several years ago, I understood how immature husband I was. I wanted this. Katie, my wife, wanted this. And I said, okay, honey, we'll do what you want. But when things went south, I blamed her. And the Lord one day slapped me in the face, threw me against the wall, ran over me like a tractor, and said, stop blaming your wife for decisions that you make. Stop. Because you made the decision of this in the finances, with the kids, with whatever it was. Because we have this agreement. And if you are, you might struggle with what I'm going to say. But that's okay. We have this agreement that we still believe that the man is the head of the house. The Bible talks about that. And so when me and Katie, one of 100 or 200 or 500 times, we can, it happened two or three times in our marriage, maybe five or 10, I don't know. And there's some people close to us who are not understanding that, but they are going to be married one day. Why the dad? Why do you have to hear and ask your dad opinion, you know? You can imagine where this is coming from. Just you, mom, tell me. And so, but when we get to that place of we cannot, then she said, you take and you, and I know all the glory and all the rocks are coming because I made now that final decision of whatever. I don't make stupid decisions a man should make in a house, like we're going to paint that wall because that's her kingdom. But I'm talking about more important stuff. What are we going to hang on the wall? Let your wife do whatever she wants with the house. You understand what I'm saying? Be a wise guy. But there are other decisions. You just want to eat and watch TV and have a good old country time every time you go home. Don't fight over stupid things like the cowboy's hat or not in the hanging on the wall. I showed up in my house with so many things. People comes to the church and gives me this stuff, this painting. You know, the church is, oh, God, and I like it. And so I went so many times to the house. Honey, what are you, where are you going to hang that? He said, you have an office in your church. You can hang whatever you want. You know what I'm saying? And so I learned the lesson. She doesn't say it like that, but she looks like, And I know when she doesn't approve that. Cabin in the woods kind of painting from the 1600s, you know. A signature of maturity takes fully responsibility. Fully responsibility. You say, you do, you think, you act, you feel, all this stuff. Proverbs 3:5-8, the Bible says, I love, this is a great scripture. Trust in the Lord with how much of your heart? All your heart. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And do not lean. It doesn't say once in a while, which we do more than once in a while. It says, do not jump off the cliff if you want to stay alive. You know what I'm saying? God is saying, do not lean on your own understanding. Because your own understanding, your own feeling, your own desires, your own whatever, it can be 99% enticed by your flesh and your heart, which is deceitful. And if you're not seeking the will of God and you are not really trying to connect with God, then you don't know what the Bible says about this. The Bible says, do not lean on your own understanding. And then verse 6 says, in all your ways, submit to Him. Not just in two or three. In how many ways? In all. Let me see what the book says. I read a book. Oh, yeah, that sounds makes sense. I know the Bible says something a little different about it. But the book, man. You know, man. I love pastor conferences, but I tell Luis and I tell people around me, wherever you go to this pastor conference, understand you're going to see a big old fish. Do not eat everything because there is bones inside of the fish. And there is stuff that is so not according to the Bible. And the most important thing is not how much smoke we put in this place, but how much of the presence of God and the Word of God is in church. You know what I'm saying? Not one amen. I thought I was going to have one amen. I'm not getting smoke or anything like that. But what is important, what changes people's life, is the presence of the Lord. Amen. Is the Word of God. Do not be wise. Oh, 6 says, and He will make your path straight. It doesn't say if your paths are crooked, if your ways are, if. No, it says He will make it because we all have crooked. We all have stuff in our minds, in our hearts. We all do. I'm here to tell you, great news, you're not perfect yet. You and I still have things inside of us that control our minds and our hearts that we don't even know it's not from God, but it's our own flesh. Are you here with me right now? There are areas inside of you, inside of me, who are controlled by the sinful nature, by the selfish and egocentric desires of our sinful nature. And says, do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. It's talking about sin. Do not be wise in your own eyes. When I read this verse, oh God, I'm getting old and I'm getting tired of finding myself how wise I can be quite often in my own eyes until I do and think and say what I want to. And then the result is not peace, love, in the gift of God, in the presence of God, in the joy of God. So would you do something for me this morning? You don't have to, but if you want to be a little bit more like Christ and understand this, it says, do not be wise in your own eyes. If you find yourself that you have a tendency like me of thinking you are right, and then the Lord, after a day, a week, or 2 years, or 5 years, shows you that was not God, but was your own wisdom. Would you look at somebody and say, I am quite often of being very wise in my own understanding. It's going to be hard. It's going to be good. I quite often find myself, Polly, being very wise, but then I find it's by was my own understanding and not God leading me. You just got to get old sometimes to understand what I'm saying here. You got to live more than 2 of 12 years to see how often our heart deceives us. Do not. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. What it's saying here is you don't follow the Lord. If you don't follow the Word of God, you can even get sick physically, it will bring in health. And then verse 17, talking about God's wisdom, it talks about God's wisdom. And Solomon, who writes Proverbs, he says, embrace wisdom, love wisdom, invite her. And it talks in English and in Spanish, it refers to wisdom as a female. She will guide you. How many ladies are happy the Bible talks like that, huh? She will lead you. She will help you. She will be there with you. It never says him. I don't know why. I'm still trying. You know, my pride is like, oh, I don't like that. But well, Verse 17 says, her ways are pleasant ways. The ways of wisdom, the ways of God, the ways of the guiding of the Holy Spirit. And all her paths, all, if you have your Bible there, all her paths are peace. What are we talking about? About what? Peace. Remember what the angel said? Peace among those who please the Lord. Not those who just go to First Assembly Bernalillo. Peace among those who please the Lord. And the Bible says if you embrace wisdom, let me give you a great advice. If you have a phone who has a speaker and you have internet access, you can download the Bible app. In fact, I don't know if everybody got saved at the Apple store, but it just comes with the iPhone. I don't know if it comes with all the other phones, but it just comes. I love it. I think it just came. No, it just comes with the Bible app, the U app. It's great. Put Proverbs while you're driving. Put a little cable you connect. If you have a car that can do that, or buy a little speaker for $10 at Walmart when you're at home, or just whatever you do, you have Alexa or whatever. But listen to Proverbs. You cannot listen to Proverbs for too long before God starts slapping you around like he does me. Bam, bam. And I love it. Ooh, that's for me. Ooh, I need more of that. Ooh, you know what I'm saying? I love that stuff. Listen to Proverbs, because the Bible says she will guide your paths, and all her paths bring one result, and that is what? Peace. How many of you guys want peace? How much wisdom is in your life? It's simple, my friends. You stupid and dumb, can I say it? If you're an idiot, you have no peace. If there is no wisdom of God in your life, you struggle with peace. And it's not a sin. A lot of times peace, and that's the second point, disappears, not because there is sin in our life, but it's because there's a lack of wisdom, number one. Number two, lack of trusting that God will take care of that situation in your life. Why did I tell you when we did communion today, God is bigger than your pain. God is bigger than your situation. God is bigger than your selfish husband, wife, son, neighbor, mean mother-in-law, or the dogs in your house, whatever it is. God is bigger than that. God is bigger, and he wants to transform our lives. Hebrews 12:14 says, make every effort to live in peace with everyone and be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. And I believe that if you're in church because you want to go to heaven and see the Lord one day, and you want to see the Lord in your life, make every effort to live in peace. How many efforts? I did one effort, Pastor. How many efforts did you do? Oh, you did two? I loved it because a person who I was preaching about this first sermon yelled from the back and said, is five efforts enough, Pastor? And he's a good friend of mine, and I'm not going to say a name. So you sound like the guys who came to Jesus and said, is forgiving seven times enough, Jesus? And what did Jesus say? 70 times seven, and it's forever. But listen, you want peace? The Bible gives you the wisdom. The Bible says, have you got to the point that you said, the Lord told me, I know that 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 the Lord spoke to me and he told me, stop making efforts to be in peace with this person. Anybody got that revelation? How many of you guys struggle with peace in your relationships? Just me? The Bible says, and I'm going to get loud and I'm going to get passionate, I'm going to get really like, you know what I'm saying? The Bible says, make every effort to live in peace. With how many? With how many? Everyone. But they step on my toes. And they bug me. And I tried this thing. And I was quiet for one day. And I did not say everything I wanted to say in that moment. And the next day, they came to put the finger again where it bugs me. Make every effort. So the day you are exhausted, all your wisdom and all the revelation from God, for $1.99, you can come to my office. I'm just joking. It's free. I struggle with being at peace with everybody also because I am very wise in my own opinion all the time. And I am a strong believer that I have some experience. And I am the father. And I am the husband. And I am the pastor. And you know what I'm saying? And I have the biggest truck right now in the road. And you're not going to cut me off. And you're not going to tell me what to do in that parking lot. If you come to get your cash around and going to buy marijuana across the street, I'm going to straight you up. And I can tell you stupid things that I did. The other day, four guys almost, if they just act a little bit more like they should, maybe they would just beat me up because I was there with my lights looking at them. What are you guys doing here in my parking lot? You know what I'm saying? And the Lord told me, you are stupid. Make every effort. Somebody needs to leave the room today and go on their knees at the home and say, God, I need your help and your revelation because I have not done every effort. When I get the temperature inside of me over 25, my brain and my blood starts boiling and this mouth starts talking. And it is now the dove of peace that comes out of snakes, you know. I can talk forever about this. Every effort, you decide the level of peace in your relationships. I don't like that. Yes, the Bible says that you have to make every effort. And if you got all the revelation and all the word and all the Holy Spirit and all the fasting and all the praying, and you still cannot be in peace in that relationship, come to my office. I struggle with the same thing. I can give you a few new ideas that comes from the Word of God that can really, really help you. And I don't have time to talk about that right now. You also decide the level of your holiness. Peace grows with your obedience. Psalm 119, 165, the Bible says, great peace have those who love your law, and nothing can make them stumble. Did you see the peace in living a life without stumbling and hurting yourself and making bad decisions? They both go together. But it says, great peace. Now, if God says great peace, great for God is bigger than what you are thinking great. Because he's a great God. Amen? Amen. And I would say, peace can grow in our life as we walk in obedience to the revelation of the Word of God in our lives. Because it talks about not 10%, not 50%, it talks about great. It not talks about small peace or medium-sized peace. God says in his Word, great. How many of you guys want great peace? Oh, boy. I've been there. I tried to live in that life. And the enemy is coming every day, I can promise you, into my own life and tries to take away and steal the peace. Sometimes because somebody said or did something that I didn't like, and a lot of times because I said or did something that is ungodly. He came to do what? John 10:10, steal, rob, and destroy from God's kids. Great peace. Peace not only grows as your obedience grows, but peace also is cultivated. And this is going to hit you hard. If you are old school and you grow up being spanked and with a belt and with a spoon and all that stuff, you're going to understand this. But if your mom just puts you in the corner and counted to 3,000 and 4,000 and 5,000 and you keep doing whatever, you're going to have a hard time with the scripture. Okay? But the discipline that talks here in the Bible, it's not talking about the discipline of praying, the discipline of fasting. It's talking about spankings. You look at the whole context, and you're going to understand here. Hebrews 12:11 says, no discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. How many got spanked? Do you know that painful is real? Later on, however, it produces a harvest. Listen what the Bible says. Of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. Trained. God is in the business of training us with discipline. How many you guys love this? No, we don't. If you're a little child and your dad spanked you, like my dad spanked me more than once a year, more than once a month. There was a week my dad spanked me every day. There was a time one of my kids I spanked 7 times until finally I broke the wheel. It's a whole different parenting thing of breaking the kid's wheel. It's important stuff. If you don't do that, you're going to have monsters in your house. But the Bible says the Lord wants to train us in his discipline. If you are a good mama and a good daddy, they trained you in good discipline. And it's not talking about having the discipline of going to the gym, because verse 6 says, chastens, scores, whips, hit you with a stick. That's what the Lord who accept as his kids, he disciplines like a good father, he says. A good father, because he loves you. You know that your mama loved you. The first time you slapped your sister in the face and she got you with a spoon, you know why she did that? You know why she did that? Because she loves you. Because you cannot walk around every day slamming and slapping your sister around because you get mad. Amen. The first time my dad whipped me, when 2 or 3 pesos came out of his wallet, the Argentinian red pesos, I remember them today. I took some of those out of the wallet my dad found. He gave me a good one. I thank God that I learned not to steal, because I would be preaching in jail right now. It's because he loves us. But some of us don't want to live on the training of the discipline of the Lord. But the Bible says, when you have been trained in the discipline of God, then you will have great peace. Great peace also comes up as a result of trusting in God. John 14:27 says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives you. And then it says, I'm not going to come and touch you with a magical peace stick. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. Whose decision is to be trouble in the heart? God's? The neighbor? The government? The doctor? Your mom? Whose decision is to be trouble in your heart? My own. He says, do not be trouble or afraid. I tell you something that troubles me greatly. Hair dogs inside of my house. I grew up in a country, and I'm not saying this is better, where dogs never were inside the house. But I had to make a decision of keeping my 4 kids and my 1 wife happy. Thank you, honey. It took me years. Our first 5 or 6 dogs never came into the house. Never. Never. But let me tell you what troubles me. Troubles me that I say yes to a dog and I'm the first one to find the mess 5 in the morning. And where is everybody else who said, Dad, please? It troubles me when the dog, as I get older and nicer and I love this dog, I really think I'm going to cry a lot when this dog that we have now dies. But it troubles me when this dog doesn't want to sleep in the little thing that we bought at Walmart, you know, for him to sleep on the floor. And it sleeps always. God is where I sit, in that corner in the couch that I sit in the morning, always there, the dog has to sleep. Can you sit over there where Liam sits, where Mom sits, where Hans lays down over there, and Sophia is somewhere else, but where I am in this couch, all that we have is all this hairy stuff, and it attracts all the dog. And even when it's the season that the dog is not shedding, is that right? The shedding, he still sleeps, and it's white hair on my brown couch. So you find me with all this tape. I have these rolls of tape because the other one from Walmart just doesn't last for too long. You know, the one you roll around. So I have this stack of this roll. I roll my hands backwards with this tape and I go in around. And I'm so mad right now. My heart is greatly troubled. I am not kidding you. My temperature level, if I had a heart problem, I would drop dead maybe at that moment. You can get mad at me. But why does the law dog sense every other night to lie down? And when he doesn't lie down in the corner that I sit, he lies down on the floor. And who shakes the thing every Friday or Saturday? This is sounds silly, but let me tell you, I really think God is trying to teach me something. The day that I can get up, clean the dog mess, get all the hair out of the corner, and not say one word and be whistling around, there is power, power, wonder working power. Then I have accomplished something that the Lord is trying to teach me. Did you understand what I'm saying? I'm talking real life here, my friends. Who was the one who wanted to bring the dog? The problem is, we did not buy dog food to the little dogs that we had when I was a little kid. So I love to cook whatever for this animal. And that's why the messes are in the living room. But still, it wasn't my idea. You know what? I'm just getting mad right now. Do not be troubled. I think the day that I have victory over my madness with the dog is going to die, and Katie promised me another one is coming in. I think she sees that this process of the Lord is going to take 30 years for me to have victory, maybe. But I can go on and on about this whole thing that God lets us go through things in our lives. God is just trying to teach you something, my friends. God is trying to teach you something. Philippians 4, 6, and 7, it says, do not be anxious about anything. But in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. A person without trusting in the Lord, their trials and tribulations will never have peace. I was hit in the chest a few weeks ago, listening to Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a fortress of glory divine. I love the old hymn. You know that hymn is beautiful. Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a fortress of glory divine, heir of salvation. But it got to a part where God slapped me again. There is a part in the hymn that says, perfect submission, all is at rest. Is rest and peace related? Oh, you know it's related. perfect submission. The Holy Spirit had to be giving revelation to the author of that song when he said, I'm going to bless the people in Bernalillo one day when they understand perfect submission to God. All is at rest. Amen. I struggle with perfect submission. I struggle. I get mad. Why the dog inside of the house? I struggle. Why did they have to do that? Why did they have to say that? Why are they like that? Why this has to happen to me? Would you close your eyes right there where you are? God wants to give you peace. The enemy wants to steal it. And if you cannot have peace alone, find somebody that can help you in your trials and in your tribulation. It doesn't have to be sin. Sometimes it's just a weak area of our life. In my case, it was stuff on the past. In my case, it's the madness of my culture and another culture and my way and the kids' way or my wife's way or somebody else's way. And God has to hit us today. Perfect submission to the Holy Spirit. Before you open your mouth, Christian, before you get mad, before you try to fix this, will you submit this to the Lord and let Him talk? The other day, it made me a reminder. And the Holy Spirit is saying, do not deal with this. Do not confront this person with it. But I'm stubborn there in my to-do list. I am going to have a meeting. And I wrote it down in my to-do list for next week. I'm going to have a meeting with this person. And I'm going to deal with this. And I'm going to fix this. And I'm going to straighten them out. And I'm going to tell them what I want as a pastor. And the Lord told me, no, don't do it. And I write it down. I write it down really fast, because I want to have victory. I want to do. Well, I'm telling you the truth. I'm fine. And the next day, I'm opening my to-do list for next week, and I read that thing again, and the Lord says, just I told you, your heart is trouble. You want to do whatever you want to do all the time. And I had to erase it. And something happened again, and I thought again, I'm going to write down that my to-do list, for I have to talk. Perfect submission. All is at rest. Father, this morning, we beg you that you will give us revelation in the areas of our lives that we don't have perfect submission, complete trust. We trust you in this area, but when this area shows up in our minds, we go crazy and we think everything is going to fall apart. Lord, perfect submission. All is at rest. I and my Savior, I am happy. Lord, I beg you this morning that your Spirit will reveal things to people in this room, that they will go home, that they will erase some stuff from the to-do list, that they will be sensitive to the whole voice of the Holy Spirit when that mind wants to go crazy again, when that sin wants to come in and appeal us and make us go back to rebuild the walls of Jericho, that you said, do not go back. I give you victory in this area. Lord, help us. Help us. Help us. Amen and amen.